It was rough.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, listeners.
Welcome to episode 66 of this rodeo.
And the rodeo named I'm Horrified.
And we're still counting down to what we're going to do for episode 69. We haven't decided yet.
Giddy up. Let's go.
Write in. Tell us what you think we should do. I am too excited to wait.
Me too.
To introduce our special guest here.
One of the specialest special guests. I would say
the most special guest, aside from the other guests who we know personally.
Friends. Yeah.
We have comedian, media connoisseur.
Wow.
Studier of queer theory.
Yes.
In television.
Uh-huh.
We have here the host of There's Nothing Ironic About Show Choir, a Glee podcast. We have been waiting for this crossover episode so we can have you on board. Our dear friend, Raina Deerwater.
Woo!
Raina, how are you?
I'm amazing. Thank you so much for having me. I flew out to Boston for specifically this.
Of course.
We flew you out.
Yes, they flew us out. Thank you, AdamandEve.com.
Yep.
But thank you guys so much. Ever since the inception of the podcast, I've wanted to be on. I'm a big fan. I spread the word. I love you guys. I'm thrilled to be here.
Oh, she did that.
We're thrilled you're here.
So excited to do a crossover episode to talk about something very horrifying, even though nuanced, yet ultimately many horrifying things about it, the TV series Glee.
Woo!
Thank goodness. Woo. Is there representation there? Sure. No. Is there also a heaping dumpster fire? You're
absolutely.
Porque no los dos.
The theme of Glee. It's wonderful. It's terrible. It's a magical mess. It's like there's singing, there's dancing, there are many deaths.
There are a couple.
There are 16-hour work days. It is a whole mess. So
take us on this journey. I want to know as much as there is scientifically and legally to know about Glee.
Okay, so yes. This is a 12-hour crossover episode. Okay.
Absolutely. This podcast is now also a Glee podcast.
Yeah, so that's
hard. We're competition, which is hard.
Yeah, it's hard to be competition, but I respect you both so much, and I respect myself so much, even though I am my own enemy. So, Glee was a musical comedy TV series that aired on Fox from May 19th, 2009 to March 20th, 2015. It did a special pilot in the spring that got everyone jazzed as fuck.
I remember it.
About this show. It's, in my opinion, and in many critics' opinion, is like one of the best pilots out there. The pilot of Glee is
so
gorgeous.
Good.
It's incredible.
It's incredible. The music, the themes, the like teen spirit is whew, it's incredible. So
it smells like it.
The pilot aired in that March, and then it was on the air for 6 years. It ended in March 2015.
God, it feels like longer.
It was an era. Like, it was a true era. I feel like especially for our very specific demographic
is right.
That's us. We're just like musical theater, or just theater, but like artsy, like white girls who loved theater, felt like an outcast a little in high school.
Oh, yeah. You got three artsy dweebs right here.
Yeah, three artsy.
Prime for the pickin', Glee-wise.
And we are the same age as the kids on Glee. Like, that show, like, the first season, they were sophomores, and we were sophomores, they went to college. When we went to college, we stopped watching, but
true.
I'll get that later. So, it's created by the known person who makes TV, Ryan Murphy. What a character. And then Ian Brennan, who I have seen do UCB improv. He just does that sometimes. It's very weird.
Good for him.
He's just doing his own thing.
I've never heard of him, and I was a pretty big... I've heard of Ryan Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
Have
we ever. And then there's also Brad Falchuk, who's the third man who created the show. Ryan, like, the three of them work together on this, and, like, Ryan and Brad specifically, like, work on all the shows together, but Ryan is, like, the face of the operation. He's, like, the artist. He's a writer-director, even though, like, Brad and Ian also, like, write and direct episodes. But it's his show. He is the face. Fun fact, Brad Falchuk is now just recently married to Gwyneth Paltrow.
Huh!
That's where that name is familiar from. Because I was like, wow, that's really... I must have really done a deep dive on Glee because I know who that person is, but I can't place them.
Did they meet on Glee?
Yeah, because Gwyneth was on an episode when she was still married to Chris Martin.
Oh, honey.
Wish I knew the details. I love that she went from, like, a frontman of Coldplay, father of Apple, to, like, a producer. But they seem very happy. Brad's brother, Evan Falchuk, teaches at Emerson College, and
our alma mater.
Yeah, our alma mater. I've had friends who have been on the podcast who have been like, oh yeah, Evan was just like, oh yeah, my brother's like a producer. He's done things like Scream Queens, etc. Never forget Scream Queens. But anyway.
I never could, as much as I might want to.
As much as we all want to. But anyway, so those three created the show, and like every episode in the first two seasons of Glee was written by one of the creators, which I think is important to keep in mind as we go through the demise of Glee, because it's like after season two, things swiftly fall south in so many ways. But yeah, for those who haven't heard of Glee, where have you been? Are you not a 20-something white woman who loves to feel like she is down on her luck and no one understands her and she's like in high school and closeted and like, oh, everything's sad. I love musicals. Because that was me. Glee.
Same. And then I'll speak for Sam also. Same.
Same. Except the closeted part.
Except the closeted
Unless
part.
Unless there's something you want to tell us on air.
Wouldn't that be wild if this was my coming out podcast?
It's Pride.
Yeah, happy Pride Month.
Happy Pride, everyone.
And we brought you this as a gift.
Happy Pride. Sam has a big thing to announce. This isn't really about Glee after all. But yeah, so it's about a competitive Glee club in Ohio, in McKinley High School, and it starts, the point of view shifts, but it's about this man named Will Schuster, who has terrible hair, and a butt chin, who revamps the Glee club and brings all these kids who feel like they're outsiders and they don't belong, and they sing competitive show choir, and that's the gist of it. There's a lot more if you want to talk about teen pregnancy. Who, mama? If you want to talk about astounding production design and musical numbers. Who, mama? If you want to talk about gay stuff. Oh, boy. If you want to talk about less good on the other letters of LGBTQ. Oh, boy. It's got it all. But yeah, so that's Glee. It was like a phenomenon. Like,
it really was.
So over the course of its 121 episode, it was nominated for 41 Emmys.
Wow.
It won 6 of them. So fun fact about those 41 Emmy nominations that I was like looking through, it's like, so it ran from 2009 to 2015. And like the 2010 Emmys were the first it was eligible. Only 2 of those 41 nominations were after 2013. So like they're just stacked in the first few seasons, and they're like guests. There's things from like production design, casting, which I'm like very deserved for the casting. Like
Gwyneth got a Emmy nomination.
Yeah,
back.
Did Gwyneth have an Emmy
nomination?
Yes,
she did.
Yeah,
Glee?
so did like Neil Patrick Harris, Kristen Chenoweth.
Kristen Chenoweth was good on Glee. They had great guests.
Yeah,
they really did.
Yeah, and then, like, Jane Lynch was the one who, like, even when the cast stopped being nominated, like, Jane Lynch was still nominated because she's so good. But yeah, it won 4 Golden Globes, has 10 Golden Globe nominations. Every single year it was on the air, it was nominated for a GLAAD Media Award, won for the first 2 years. Notice, again, the trend of the first 2 years getting a lot of rewards. But yeah, the fandom is fucking bonkers. Like, when you go on fanfiction.net, which everyone should once in a while to see what's cracking, and you click on...
We know our audience. You've all been there.
You've all been there. We all know. We're in the same boat. You all watched Glee. I'm being redundant, but that's okay.
It's all right.
So, like, if you click on TV shows and it ranks, like, the fandoms for how many, like, fics there are about them. And the number one, like, is Supernatural, which checks out because, like, that's been on for, like, 15 fucking years.
Yeah. So many fanfiction tropes were invented from Supernatural.
It's, like, historic. Like, so it's, like, of course it's a number one TV show. What do you think the second one is?
Doctor Who?
It's Glee.
It's Glee.
Glee beat Doctor Who. It beat Buffy. It beat Sherlock.
Wow.
And this might be for reasons like most people moved over to Archive of Our Own, but like, I still like Glee is like, Glee is second on fanfiction.it. In terms of TV shows, Harry Potter's like, and the Avengers are like, we have more.
The Avengers, really?
People are super into the Avengers. And yeah, there are like, so there's 108,000 fics on fanfiction.net. 33,552 fanfics on Archive of Our Own. It's bonkers. Because it's like, it like hit the nerve of like people who are get really intense about stuff because it was like to theater kids. And I was like theater kids who felt like they didn't have an outlet or like a community and all this great stuff. So it's like, it got us. Like I watched the pilot the summer between freshman and sophomore year of high school. They like aired it for this like theater camp I was doing, and they gave us t-shirts, and I wear that t-shirt everywhere. There's a picture of me wearing that t-shirt on the Great Wall of China.
Wow. Which we will put on our social media.
You must. But yeah, so like I personally was obsessed with Glee, as I'm assuming I know that you two were.
I was, truly.
I remember where I was. I was sitting in front of my TV in the living room watching it. I think my mom was there, maybe my friend Mackenzie was there, but I remember when it ended, I was like, oh my god, this is my favorite show. This is gonna be my favorite show forever. I was so excited. Not the least why, because I was a huge Spring Awakening fan.
Yeah. Mm.
So I knew who Lea Michele was.
That's from true. Spring Awakening. That.
Yeah.
I was obsessed with her already.
And so then she went out.
God, I was so excited. Mm-hmm. And they took that from me.
I was.
And they made this.
Here's like an embarrassing fun fact about Young Bundage.
Young Bundage.
I loved Spring Awakening, but I wasn't like as familiar. Like I didn't recognize Lea Michele from that.
Mm-hmm.
But the person I did recognize was the actor who plays Will Schuster, Matthew Morrison, because is in the version of Once Upon a Mattress that stars Carol Burnett and Tracy Ullman.
Oh.
He is, like, Sir Harry, one of the male leads.
I love that.
And I loved that dumb fucking DVD, and I saw him, and I was like, it's Sir Harry from the
Sir
Carol
Harry.
Burnett Once Upon a Mattress. It was niche, but I thought, this show is for that niche.
It is.
I'm going to love it.
And then when Darren Criss came on, and we were...
Oof.
Crazy, a Harry Potter musical fan, Star Trek fans.
Oh my god!
Do you remember that? Do you guys remember that?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Kids today. Vividly. Kids today won't know.
And that's like crazy. It's like they knew their audience. So like I'm sure like he auditioned and nailed the audition, but they were like, we fucking know who watches Glee. Like we know we get like the Darren Criss, the Harry Potter, like. People are going to fall over themselves.
They were on the Tumblr as they were writing.
They definitely were.
The Tumblr.
That Tumblr.
But yeah, it was like, it was crazy. It was like revolutionary in terms of like how successful it was. And again, the early seasons, but like, it was like for high school, like water cooler TV where you're like, I'm going to go in on Wednesday after it aired on Tuesday night. I didn't even have cable, but I would watch it the next day. I think I would, like, get it on Hulu. It was, like, one of the first times I used Hulu. Shout out to Hulu. I would, like, watch Glee, or I would, like, watch it illegally the night of so I could talk about it with my friends. And, like, I remember going into the office of, like, because I went to a weird small school, but, like, go hang out with Kamala, the office lady, and she would have watched Glee. And then, like, I told all my friends, you have to watch Glee. And it was just, like, I, like, remember being the mester, being like, why don't you watch Glee? I remember, like, talking to, like, people in my Spanish class, and I was like, why don't you watch Glee? But
you're like a guy trying to get a woman to read Infinite Jest.
I know. That's me. That was me at, like, 15. I was like, if you're not gonna have a conversation about Glee, I don't care. And then it would just be, like, buy the next song on iTunes the next day, which is...
I would buy the song sometimes.
Too. I would do it
for 99 cents.
99 cents. Even when it went up to 129, I'd be like, okay, if it's a good one, yeah.
And then you can listen to Gwyneth Paltrow's version of Umbrella as many times as you want.
And not to forget, mashed up with Singing in the Rain.
True.
Whew, what a time. We can listen to It's My Life Confessions, one of my favorites. So many bangers. Oh, quick plug, my Spotify. Follow me on SoundCloud. But it is I have a playlist called Glee Bangers on Spotify, and it's fucking good.
Only the best.
Only the best. Only the best of the best makes it to the playlist. But anyway, so, like, Glee was a big ol' thing. Like, it was also, like,
super, the way it was, like, politically is interesting, because it was very much like, we have an issue, we're going to talk about that issue, especially during the later seasons. Like, a lot of times, like, I felt like in the early seasons, it was very not subtle, but it was still like, we're going to follow Kurt, and Kurt is gay, so we're going to talk about gay stuff. And this, then later on, they're like, yeah, we need to talk about a school shooting, so we're going to do a school shooting episode. And sort of like,
they fucking did that.
They sure did, and they did that. They did a lot of very questionable things with trans people. Like, they did it all. But it was like, it was also, the Glee started airing the year after Obama was elected and stopped airing the year before Trump was elected. And I think Glee is pure Obama-era television.
I thought you were about to say Glee going off the air is the reason Trump got elected.
That is also like, true.
A hot take, but okay.
White women in Glee elected Trump. Which are one and the same.
One and the same. That's what I'm saying is Glee brought on this terrible era. But yeah, it was like this very like, it's like progressive and means yeah. well and sometimes fucks up, but like it is like of this era of like hope. I feel like Glee was very much within that. Glee went off the air in March of 2015. Marriage equality in the U.S. passed in summer of 2015. Coincidence? I don't know. Finally, Glee fans were voting age. That wasn't a thing that happened in the voting booth, but still.
Need a break from the horrifying reality of real life? Well, do we have a sexy deal for you.
Go to adamandeve.com and use our special code HORROR for 50% off almost any item and free shipping. That's HORROR at checkout for 50% off and free shipping. Order now and get ready to...
More on the gay stuff. This is who I am. So it was all... We all know it was about... Kurt and Blaine were the golden gay boys.
Oh, Blaine. I mean, I love Kurt too, but Blaine.
Blaine.
Because we were hot off of Harry Potter musical, so we were just so excited about Blaine.
Hot.
Yeah, Darren Criss could look at me and it would be over.
But they had excellent...
To this day, which is embarrassing.
They had excellent chemistry too,
They
I
did
think.
Have good chemistry.
They had great chemistry. There was something so, like, effortlessly charming about Darren, and something, like, charming in, like, a different way about Criss Colfer is, like, you just want to root for that kid.
I believed in their relationship. I believed that they would have loved each other. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
For some reason,
yeah.
like, their personalities really worked, and I love
Did
I
they have
that.
To get married at the end of the show? I don't know.
Did that happen?
This is in my notes of one to talk about things that are horrifying about Glee. Thank you for that opening. So, like, Kurt and Blaine were the gay boys. They were beloved. There was some stuff that was very annoying later on in the show where it's like, oh, Blaine cheated on Kurt because he wasn't answering his phone calls because he was too busy interning for Sarah Jessica Parker. It happens.
We've all been there, am I right?
And then I had to do a slow acoustic rendition of Teenage Dream.
Oh no, really? Did that happen? That would have like, broken me if I had listened to it.
You still can. It's all on Netflix. But yeah, it was rough. Episode called The Breakup, where they like break up all the couples. Season 4, baby. It's weird. But so like they were so like, and there were like some missteps, but overall like Kurt and Blaine like changed things about how like gay teens look on television and like was doing like... Yes, Kurt was, like, there was a really bad bullying plot, and, like, it was really rough on him, but, like, he got to, like, have a wonderful boyfriend, and they, like, got to kiss, and it was just, like, and, like, have their life and get married at the end. But, like, they, like, overall, like, I think, like, Kurt and Blaine, like, really was a net positive in, like,
yeah,
what it did.
I think so, too.
Then if we talk about my ship, fraught as it may be, of Brittany and Santana.
A great ship.
A great ship, more fraught than Kurt and Blaine. There was a line in season one, they're on like a conference, a classic split screen phone call, always love. And there's this line where they're talking about someone, they're like, well, sex isn't dating. And then Santana says, if sex was dating, or did Brittany say, I don't know. They said then, if Brittany says, if sex was dating, Santana and I would be dating. And it, like, blew the fuck up. And, like, Tumblr and, like, queer women being like, holy shit, or, like...
That sounds exactly like something Brittany would say. I'm just
yeah,
say
it, was
right
it was Brittany.
I'm sure it was Brittany.
I a goofed. A Brittany move of me. But... So then, like, the ship was spun. And I've always loved the, like, there's always a mean girl and her two henchmen. And I love the idea of, like, the two henchmen as a couple. And, like, it was great. And then, like, they went into, like, season two with it and, like, sort of, like, actually made it a thing. And, like, Santana Cruz had feelings for Brittany. And there was that landslide cover, which...
Emotional.
Broke my heart. All the Fleetwood Mac episode.
Was Gwyneth in that episode?
Yeah, Gwyneth was... It was Gwyneth, like, playing the guitar and then, like, Santana, like, singing to Brittany.
That's why she got that Emmy. Or the nod, at least.
A star. And her future husband was like, I'm gonna marry that girl. She's married to Chris Martin right now, but...
Not for long.
She'd never look at me. Until.
Until. And so then, like, things got very fraught. I'm saying the word fraught a lot, but it's the only one I can think of with Brittany and Santana, where, like, Brittany was dating Artie, which, sure. And Santana was upset that Brittany was dating Artie, which is fair. It's like the woman you love is dating someone else. Terrible. But the way that she voiced that was, like, incredibly biphobic. And it wasn't one of those ways where, like, Glee characters would, like, say something homophobic or racist. Well, racism sometimes goes bad. But then, and then, like, you know that's a bad character saying it and, like, the show calls him out on it. Or just sort of, like, something Sue Sylvester says. We know Sue Sylvester hates everybody. But, like, when Santana said stuff about, like, Brittany dating Artie and it's like, well, you can never love me because you love him. It's like, okay, is that how, like, this... like you're saying like this lesbian feels about like bi people and just sort of like it's just a very like a thing, especially like it's gotten better now, but especially in like 2010-11 when this was like that was very much like what bi people were delegated to in television. Like
it was a different time.
It was a different era. It was like an Olivia Wilde on the OC era.
I think also you have to take into consideration that the guy at the helm was a gay man.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a gay man. Not a bisexual man, to my understanding.
Definitely not.
So, no. So, it's like, all right, well, if you're throwing around... It's not that it doesn't mean that it's okay for you to throw around inappropriate things about gay people, but if the showrunner's a gay man and he's choosing to kind of make commentary about the way... people say the word gay or say the word queer, kind of in like kind of take punches at that so that he can make a bigger message. That's one thing. But then it's a totally different thing when he just says something about bisexual people that he has no, he's not trying to make a statement. He's just trying to take a jab.
Yeah.
So, and that it always felt very sinister. And there's a couple more that I'm sure we'll talk about.
Yeah. It just always felt sinister. It felt like Brittany was like weirdly like the punching bag for that. And like when it could have been just like, and it wasn't even, you never got to see, also because it made Brittany as, like, a character was very much just, like, someone who said a funny line, which I appreciate, and I love her to death, but, like,
the best.
You never got to see her journey the way you get to see Kurt and, like, even Santana a little bit. Like, their journey into becoming, like, gay, fully gay. Right. Like, you don't see that with, like, the bi character.
Her sexuality was played for laughs.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, it was only, like, meaningful when it was, like, in relation to Santana. And not, like, anything just for her. So that sucked. And also, like, Santana ended up being, like, outed by Finn and historically did one of my top Glee covers, Rumor Has It Someone Like You, mashup.
That
incredible.
Is a good one. That's fantastic.
So good. And then she, like, slaps Finn across the face and it was drama. It was peak drama. And then, like, but that sort of narrative became about Santana apologizing to Finn. And it's like, Finn's like a lovable idiot. And like, he was accidentally out at her and was like a dick. And like, she was also a dick. But like, also like, don't make, when Kurt's coming out narrative was about like Kurt coming out and like Kurt coming to terms with himself. And Santana was about like a straight man, which blows. And then fast forward to the final train wreck of the season, where like it's Brittany and Santana's wedding. They're all like 19. They should not be married. If you do that, if you're got married at 19, that's amazing. You seem so happy and in love. But these characters should not do that. And like, happy Brittany and Santana are getting married. It's very cute. And then the previous episode, Kurt and Blaine had gotten back together after Sue Sylvester trapped them in an elevator with a puppet made out of that looked like herself. Classic.
Makes sense.
They had just gotten back together, and like the producers are like, Kurt and Blaine's their all-star couple, which like love them, but it was even like Brittany and Santana's wedding, they were like, haha, we've been planning this forever, but guess what? We're gonna, like, share our wedding with Kurt and Blaine, and, like, they're gonna get married, and the episode's gonna be about Kurt and Blaine.
But they just got back together.
I know, that's, first of all, like, don't, if you've broken up and just gone back together, don't get married. Second of all, like, they can't even have, like, one episode that's about the women. It's gotta be, like, ooh, the gay men front
it's
center.
It's Ryan Murphy's show.
It's Ryan Murphy's show. And then there's also, like, all this stuff with, Unique, who's like a trans woman for like the way that the character is, but it's sort of like they never really knew what like to say for like Unique's gender, and like they like had a cis dude play her, and I like do think that wasn't like ill intention, it just came from a point of ignorance, but like there were people you could ask and talk to, and sort of like the insults, it's again that sort of thing where it's like a gay man is running this, where like when Sue Sylvester threw insults at like Kurt and called him like a fairy or whatever, like you got to see like Kurt come into his own, you knew these are the words of a gay man. But when she said like anti-trans things about like Unique, that's like that language is like hurting a bunch of trans kids, and like is less, you know, it's less like can be forgiven, there's not less positive to make up for
it's
that.
Also in some senses a more violent moment in history for trans women than gay men.
Yeah.
And not to belittle anyone's struggle, but it's like right now it's a very violent time to be a trans woman.
And like Kurt and Blaine were white and like Unique is black, which is like the most like the demographic that is like getting murdered like weekly in like 10 years after this is just like.
To sing praises, though, did Unique do the cover of Disco Inferno?
Yes.
Ugh.
Well, that's, like, Alex Newell.
So good.
This is nothing against, like, Alex.
It's better than the Bee Gees.
Yeah. It's so true. Also, like, there's nothing against Alex Newell, the character that played her, because I don't think he was doing it from a place of malice, and he's, like, very cool and queer and, like, has an incredible voice.
Yeah.
Is it, when it was on, like, what's a music? Once on this island.
He was amazing. Once on this island.
Yeah. Snaps. He's wonderful. It's just, like, a writing from a place of ignorance. It's not great. Anyway, that's the end of my segment called Bad Queer Things. I'm horrified.
New podcast.
Yeah, new podcast spinoff with me. But yeah, so that's just my laundry list of, like, in that area, what was rough. But I did want to talk about, again, like, back to it provide like doing stories based on issue rather than character or song. I'll even take song. I love the Madonna episode. Iconic. But the episode where I personally stopped watching before I started the podcast, which now I've seen further, but and it was season 3 episode 14 called On My Way, written by the man who is the showrunner of Riverdale.
I love that crossover moment.
And I was like, this all makes sense. But so it aired in February of 2012. And so this is the episode that starts with a very serious, like it starts very seriously. It's where Dave Karofsky attempts suicide. Mm. And this is the guy who like bullied Kurt so much in season 2 that he transferred schools, and then like later and then like tried to kiss him, and you find out he's closeted, and it's like very dark, and like it's just a lot of, and then people find out that he's gay, and then he tries to kill himself at the beginning of this episode, and it's like that part is done, like it's intense, and there are some things that like, could be better, but it's like, okay, you can do this like very meaningful episode about like this like gay teen attempting suicide, because that's like a thing that happens, especially in like middle America in 2012. And then like Blaine sings a cover of Cough Syrup, which is very good. Tearjerker. So that like, okay, you're doing a very special episode, you have to do it with care, but sure. But about 10 minutes into the episode, it's about how the fact that Karofsky almost died made Rachel and Finn value their life so much that they're going to get married today.
No.
And oh, also,
right. Holy
they
shit.
Have to perform at regionals. So it's not an episode about Karofsky's suicide attempt. It's a regionals episode, a straight couple getting married episode. And that all happens. So Karofsky is like going through terrible shit, but they gotta perform at regionals, full regional set. Rachel and Finn about to get married, but somebody's late. It's Quinn. Quinn is driving her car and texting on my way, the title of the episode, when she gets fucking rammed by a truck and the episode ends. And I was like, fuck this show. Because there were so many things. It was like, so we're going to do gay teens attempting suicide, straight teens getting married, regionals, and texting and driving. And I said, no, thank you, Glee. And that's when I left. But yeah, so that's like, everyone has their moment when they stopped watching. And there's been a debate within the community of Glee fans.
The Glee-munity, if you
will.
Yeah,
the Glee, ooh.
Wait, what about Kaglegits?
No.
Collegiates?
No. Collegiates?
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I like it.
So there was a like question in the collegiates that was...
Well, now you're using it, so...
That was, when did Glee go bad? And my favorite, like, dissection of this is this article written for Vox.com by Emily Vanderwerf, which is, like... about how, like, when you really look back in Glee, like, the second episode you can pinpoint where it diverged from the pilot. Sam knows what I'm talking about.
I read this article, too!
It's so good.
Because in my brain I just went, like, the second episode. I know that for some reason. And I also read this article.
Because the pilot is so good. Like, again, cannot say enough how amazing the pilot is. But so, like, in the pilot, you see, like, Will is, like, he and his wife, like, want to have a baby. And he's, like, kind of hates his job as just, like, a Spanish teacher and wants to revitalize the Glee Club. But then his wife's like, you need to make more money because, like, and then at the end, she's like, there's a baby on the way, so you need to take this other job. And the end of the episode is Will, like, going in, seeing the kids singing and, like, being like, wow, this is what I'm passionate about. I'm not going to take the better job because of my passion. So then it's like, I'm not going to make things as good for my kid, which is like a tough decision. And like, ooh, there are stakes here and there is conflict. But then in the second episode, we find out that Terry Schuster, wild woman, was faking her pregnancy.
I'm a Terry Schuster stan. I'm going to say that right now.
I will say first watch, hated her. Second watch, respect her.
She's a great character.
She is and she's like, she's got... The actor, like, Jessica Gleeson, or what, Jill Sig, I don't know, I'm butchering your last name, Jessica, I'm sorry. She's a fan.
She's a huge fan of the podcast, so thanks a lot for that, really alienating us.
She nails that portrayal. But, so, like, this, and so she's faking her pregnancy, and this is what Emily wrote in her article that I think, like, is so, like, on the nose of why that fake pregnancy is what ruined everything. It's like, but this moment signaled that Glee was always going to fall apart in a more concrete way as well. It indicated that this was going to be a show where characters never actually had to make hard choices or do difficult things. Will wouldn't have to choose between his dreams and his child because he wasn't actually going to have a child. It immediately diminished the dramatic stakes and was indicative of many other choices the show would make in this regard throughout the years. And I was just like, god damn, like, that's true. Like, there's still some, like, season one and two are, like, stuck with wonderful episodes, wonderful characters. Like, I think overall, even though there's, like, shitty stuff from truly episode two, like, good stuff happens. But I do think that's, like, the first little thing in, like, a Jenga, and then it's just, like, gonna all crumble. But yeah, so there's, like, so many things that, like, people pinpoint as the moment when they graduated and they brought in the new boring people.
Mm-hmm.
It could be the Let's Have a Kiki Turkey Lurkey Time mashup. Never forget. It could be in Allie's episode, the way that Gwyneth Paltrow said tacos.
Tacos.
Let's get some tacos.
What Raina's referring to is that I was on a guest... I was a guest host on There's Nothing Ironic About Show Choir, and we talked about the Gwyneth Paltrow episode, and Sam was a co-host as well.
I just remembered what my episode was. It was Furt.
Oh, Furt.
It was Furt.
Never
and Furt. I remember I got furious because I realized that if they had just flipped the letters, it could have been Kin, which makes so much more sense.
Oh, yeah.
And isn't a nightmare to think about.
Isn't a nightmare. And then there was the episode, like, even in season one, there's an episode where...
Run, Joey, Run.
I stand by it. I'm a minority, a vocal minority. I love Run, Joey, Run. But the episode that I thought was very cool was when I was a teen with Wheels, where they're all getting wheelchairs to see what it's like for Artie. And the crazy thing is at the end of the episode, Finn needs a job, and Rachel's like, I know how to help you. So she puts Finn in a wheelchair and is like, you have to hire my friend. He's in a wheelchair. And they give him the job.
No.
So that happens very early on. There's a lot of bad things. They did a Britney Spears episode in season two, and in season four they ran out of episodes, so they just did another Britney Spears episode.
I remember that. That was crazy.
So there's just
the first Britney Spears episode is the best episode of television of all time.
Mm-hmm. Incredible. Yeah.
John Stamos is there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. Oof.
They keep going under
the guest stars.
Oh no.
Not are me. Incredible on Glee. Like, cannot say enough about my girl.
John Stamos has an arc on Glee.
He has an arc.
He's dating the redheaded teacher.
Yeah, he's dating Emma.
Emma Pillsbury.
Who got shafted by the show.
Yeah.
Will was not good to her in their relationship.
No.
But yeah, so Glee went steadily downhill in both quality and ratings. The pilot, like, which is just a pilot, like, their episodes that got higher rated because it got more of a following. The pilot had 9.62 million views, and the finale had 2.54 million views.
Wow.
Like, it just went downhill. Like, everyone I've interviewed for my podcast, like, has dropped off, except for, like, a few select people. Shout out to Sarah Chafee. Shout out to Eric McBride. Big I'm Horrified fan. Love him.
Wow.
Raina told us that her coworker is a big fan of our show, and I just want to say, you're welcome in Boston anytime.
Yeah.
Wow.
Please come here.
That's Eric, exciting. Come to Boston. But yeah, so... Anyway, like, the show, like, lost its fans, and, like, it was a thing where it's, like, you either die a hero or live long enough to become a villain.
Yeah.
Like, and that was
that
Glee. That was Glee. Like, it did so many wonderful things in the first mm-hmm. years and really, like, changed how we tell teen stories and, like, queer stories and, like, did a lot of stuff, but, like, there's nothing sadder than watching something that was once great crumble before your hands.
That's true.
So, that's... I'm not done. So that's like inside the Glee. We're talking story, we're talking character, we're talking bangers. But outside of Glee, a lot of fucking terrible things happened.
It's like the taping of The Exorcist where all the people died during it.
It is the Glee curse. So for a small thing before I get into the people who died, but there's like this the working like it's hard to find, like, concrete information because everyone's very, like, hush-hush about it because it launched so many of their careers. But, like, the working conditions of Glee were really rough. They were, like, 16 to 17-hour days. Like, they were sweat. There's, like, a thing where, like, Naya Rivera, like, threatened to quit because she was made... AC was broken. They still made her do dance anyway. And it was, like, really hot out. And so it was just, like... Basically, they had to, like, rehearse and perform these musical numbers every episode while having, like, a regular shooting schedule. And, like, they were, like... pretty young, so it's just a vague, like, no one's confirmed it, but like a vague known thing that it was like really terrible to work on Glee. Mm-hmm. Also, a lot of people complain about working with Lea Michele, and there's also my favorite conspiracy theory that Lea Michele can't read.
I love that conspiracy theory. I've heard
One started by credit where credit is due is Jay Hunt and Robert Ackerman, who have the podcast One More Thing, and they did like a 45 minute Facebook video about how Lea Michele can't read, and it started from like Naya Rivera's book where she was saying like she would always be like given her own lines or improvise them, and then as people like look through Instagram was like when she's signing her book her pen's never actually on the paper and like who knows what she's saying, and Ryan Murphy would always like talk directly to her. And I love that Lea Michele can't read. I'm a truther. But yeah, other things like happened. So the big one that we all know of, I have a very specific memory of, it was the summer of 2013. It was after my freshman year of college, and I was stopped watching Glee at that point. And I remember like, I don't know why this is so specific, but it was like right when Orange is the New Black came out, and I was watching Orange is the New Black. I was like, this is a great show. Season 1 was very good. And then I go to the bathroom, and I'm looking on my phone, and I, like, on Facebook, and I see that, like, Corey Monteith has died. And I remember being in full denial where I was like, I don't want to do this. I'm putting my phone away. I'm going to go back and watch TV with my mom. I don't want to deal with this. And later that night, I just, like, went through the internet and, like... He just died. He, like, overdosed.
I cried when I found out.
It was shocking.
So sad.
And so young.
And he and Lea Michele were dating in real life, right?
Yeah, him and Lea Michele were dating. Yeah, he was, I think, 35. He, like, overdosed in a hotel in Vancouver. And, like, yeah, he had, like, substance abuse problems. But it was just, like, very... It was heartbreaking because, like, everyone's, like... stories about him like were that he was such a like good guy
and he just couldn't get away from his addiction which is terribly sad.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, they did a full episode about that, and like it was just like a thing that was like very heartbreaking because like again like the fandom of Glee was so huge and people were like into their personal lives, like they did a tour, they did a documentary about the tour, like they felt like you felt like you got to know them, and then it was just crushing when Corey died. So that was in 2013. In a also terrible note, also in 2013, Mark Saling, who played Puck, was accused of sexual assault. And then it was like he settled out of court and it went under the rug. So it was like 2013 and he wasn't that famous and no one really knew about it. And then in 2015, he was arrested with a ginormous collection of child pornography.
Mm. I couldn't believe it.
It was crazy. And so that was in like 2015, and he basically was like, it was a really long trial period, and then he pled guilty. Like, so he pled guilty, he was going to be sentenced to prison, and before he was sentenced to prison in 2018, now he committed suicide. So it's just like everything is bad about that.
Yeah, it's awful. It's just awful all around.
Yeah. Yeah. And so he was just like the terrible in every way, and then like also took his own life, and it's just like this like very, very dark like underbelly for like, hey, I'm just the Mohawk guy on Glee, and like it's just a very weird thing of like, oh yeah, I like listened to his music. I saw his face on TV for like 6 years.
That's how I feel about what's his name from That 70s Show?
Oh, Danny Masterson.
Danny Masterson, too. Mm-hmm. It's like, fuck you. Like, I don't want to fucking look at you. Yeah. But this feels way more complicated because the ending to this story is tragic.
Yeah, it's all very tragic. In 2017, Naya Rivera, her ex-husband, who, like, they vaguely got back together, called the cops, and she was arrested for domestic abuse because she like hit him in the face over an argument about their child. There's like not more details about that because they like didn't want the press into it, and I think they're still together, but that's not good from what I've heard. She's also like other people who've been in relationships have sort of like hinted about stuff with her being abusive, and that's also very rough, also because she was my favorite. Not relevant, but she was. That voice. And then this is much less, like, that connected, but Becca Tobin, who was one of the new people they brought in season 4, while she was on Glee, her, like, serious boyfriend, Matt Bendick, also died, and, like, no one knows. Like, it was a no cause of death. Death was found in his autopsy, so it's unknown if it was, like, there was foul play or not. They ruled like no foul play, yeah. But like it was like a mysterious death. But yeah, so that's just several things that have happened to the cast of Glee. In other news, Darren Criss opened a piano bar, which is great.
On a lighter note,
Darren Criss opened a piano bar. He's astounding in The Assassination of John of Versace, which is another Ryan Murphy property.
Leah Michelle is married.
Yeah, Leah Michelle's married. Brad Falchuk is married to Gwyneth Paltrow.
That's the real happy ending of
That's true. Chris Colfer writes children's books.
That's so fun.
I love that.
And he is, I once was like working an event that he was coming into, and I like couldn't find his name on like the iPad. We were checking people in, and he was, most celebrities, like no matter how like low famous they are, like don't tell you their names because they're like, you know my name. But he was like, oh, it's Colfer, you should probably find it.
And you're like, yeah, I fucking know. I'm like,
do you know who I am? You're
like, if anyone in this room knows your name, is Chris Colfer.
I know both your name and almost everything else about you publicly.
Yeah. Love him. Kevin McHale recently, like, came out as gay, even though he was like, no one asked me. I've been basically out for a while, but no one asked me.
It's like, okay. Do we have to say it out loud?
Yeah, Harry Shum Jr. had a very small role in Crazy Rich Asians, but it seems like he'll be in the sequel.
I've read all 3 books, and his character does become important in the later movies.
I swear to God, one of my favorites on the show.
He's wonderful.
So talented.
He's wonderful. Yeah. He was on the show Shadowhunters, has a huge fan.
He
played like a bisexual warlock.
Yes.
Doing great.
Just wanted him to dance.
Always want him to dance. But yeah, so other people are doing better from Glee, but overall, several things about that show that are horrifying and also sad and also nuanced.
Raina, I want to ask you, I don't want to lead you anywhere, but it looks like your Google Doc's empty.
Right? My Google Doc is empty.
I'm curious to know from the preeminent scholar of this piece of media.
Thank you. I still haven't seen season 5, but yes.
what do you think Glee's legacy will be?
Ooh, great question. Great question.
I'd like to, first of all, I'll say something, and then I want you two to weigh in as well. I think Glee's legacy will be, like, an interesting one, because I do think it is a show that has, like, both lost a lot of rewatchability in terms of, like, things that are politically correct, but it's also, like, I do think there are new audiences coming into it because it's on Netflix, and it's so fun. Like, there aren't shows, like, there's not a show that that's, like, they've tried to make, like, other, like, musical TV in, like, this way with, like, all in it, like, they're, none of them are on the air anymore.
Rest in peace, Smash.
Oh. Smash forever in our hearts. But yeah, I think Glee's legacy will be, like, in terms of, like, our, like, I think in terms of a lot of, like, gay people in our generation, something that, like, I think most of us, like, not to generalize, but that's what I'm doing, have a very similar relationship where it was so important in our youth, and then, like, we got very disillusioned with it. So I think it will, like, have a complex legacy, but I also think it will have, like, a fun, like, a legacy of, like, oh, remember this. Like, I think there will be some rose-colored glasses, which I don't think is bad in any way. Like, I like the idea of, like, still, like, listening to the music and still, like, talking about people and, like, watching YouTube videos and, like, so I think it will be remembered fondly, like, either fondly or terribly. All of the above. This was a very all over the place answer. But I do think it will
be...
It's
an all over the place topic.
Yeah. I do think it will be remembered. I don't think anyone's forgetting Glee.
Like, even as much as they'd like
to. As much as they'd like to. But I do think in, like, decades when you're, like, having a retirement party for Jim, you'll be like, oh my god, Jim, remember Glee? And he'll be like,
I think it's gonna be in textbooks. It's gonna be in media about, like, you know, notable works of queer media.
It is. I mean, it already is in terms of, like it's studied in, like, yeah, it's studied in, like, queer studies classes and, like, mm-hmm. just, like, it's a piece in the history of representation, and that can be skewed for good or for bad, mm-hmm. but it's, like, it's, you can't separate it from the progress we've made in the last decade.
I think in 20 to 30 years, our generation will be, like, in the middle of raising any kids that we wanted, and Glee will have a comeback because we'll all be, like, you should watch the show I loved when I was 14.
Like, they tried to bring back Fame.
Yeah, kind of like that. And maybe Glee will get a reboot, or maybe it'll just get, like, a reunion special. Oh. But that's my prediction. 20 to 30 years from now, Glee has a resurgence.
I think it's going to be...
Because we start showing it to our, like, 14-year-old kids. Yeah.
I think that what's interesting to me is, and I thought about this a lot, because I think we tend to be hypercritical of queer media, sometimes for homophobic reasons, but I think the people who either are queer or are supportive of queer media tend to put a laser focus mm-hmm. on queer media because it's important that it be good.
Yeah.
And I think that's not fair mm-hmm. and indicative of all marginalized people's art. It's like, it has to be 10 times better than everything else on the market.
Yeah, there's always a higher standard for... There's a comedian who, like, named Guy Branum, who writes, like, a super interesting essay.
Love Guy Branum.
Like, have you read his book?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you should read his book. But there's an essay in his book about how, like, it's about, like, gay men specifically, but they're, like, they're not used to seeing themselves in media, so always, like, feel like, are drawn to, like, these, like, sort of strong older women to, like, identify with, but then, like, don't, like... And then when they see actual, like, gay men portrayed in media, they, like, it's less accepting than, like, those straight women they idolize because it's more easier to pick that apart because they're so few and far between. Mm. And I think that's really interesting. And I, like, yeah, I just think it's all... I do think, again, like, with it being made in the Obama era, like, I think there was just something about that being, like, this... It's fun to, like... critique it. It's sort of like there will be better things. Like it's a classic. It gets better show in like every sense except for the show didn't get better. But just sort of the way that's like okay, like we know that whatever comes next is gonna be better than this in this way. And then like a lot of things aren't. But it's I think it's such a like such a cultural like time capsule of the like 2010s in like early in a way that like is gonna be like really interesting to look at in a few decades.
Can I ask you a silly question?
Please.
About Glee? This is just something I think about sometimes. Sometimes I think about, if Glee was still on the air, what popular songs would they be covering?
I think about this all the time.
So I just want to throw a couple at you.
Yes.
Would Glee have covered Old Town Road by Lil Nas X?
100% yes.
It would have been a country version, though.
Would it have been Will Schuster singing the Billy Ray Cyrus part and someone else doing...
Yes, it would have been Will Schuster and Artie. And Artie would be rapping, and Will would be doing the Billy Ray part.
I love that.
And they would be doing, like, it would be one of the ones that, like, they portray as being, like, a bad school assembly or something, and they'd all have their cowboy hats and lasses.
Or there's, like, a new student, and he's a cowboy, and they don't respect him.
Oh my god, yeah.
And he's like, cowboys can be cool, and yeah. Then he performs Old Town Road.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, they can be cool.
Yeah, and they're like, whoa, this kid is right.
Question number two, would Glee have covered Money by Cardi B? And how bad would it have been?
I think somebody was, like, maybe getting a part-time job at an ice cream shop. And they get their first paycheck, but then they start going into credit card debt.
Whoa. Good one.
And then that's how they cover money.
I love that.
And then finally, what songs off Sweetener would they have covered, or would they have just done an Ariana Grande episode?
Good question, Sam.
Excellent question. I know we've been talking about the importance of queer representation in the media, but I'm asking the important
questions. Yeah, you're asking, like, the real heavy hitters. I think they would have done what they did with Fleetwood Mac, which is where they did, like, one song. They do, like, Landslide, and later on we're like, this was good, we should do a full episode. I think, like, after Sweetener came out, they would have done one song, and then they would have, I think they would have done the singles, like, No Tears Left to Cry, like, before even Sweetener.
I was just about to say, yeah. Like, they're definitely doing that's No, like, Tears Left to Cry.
That's like a like, I'm
classic
coming back.
Breakup.
Yeah. They would have had Rachel do it, even though someone else probably should have done it. Yeah. That's, and then
she and Jesse just had a fight.
Yeah, and then after,
they would have done REM when someone's actually asleep.
It's a dream sequence.
And then after Thank You Next also came out, because it came out so soon after, mm-hmm. they would have been like, we gotta do a whole Ariana Grande. And, like, I would, all the girls, like, doing Thank You Next and changing the lyrics to their actual, like, like, saying some songs about Artie, like, you,
how'd I end up with Mike?
It's so good. Here's Tina Coaching.
Here's something that I think would have happened. They would have gotten Pete Davidson as a guest star.
Wow. They might have. They
pour one out for that alternate reality.
Pre or post breakup, Pete Davidson. Wow.
Post. Okay, I like to think they booked him before the breakup, but the episode aired after the breakup.
Oh, no.
Devastating.
Absolutely devastating.
Oh, whew. All right.
Think about that as you fall asleep tonight.
We've covered a lot of ground.
We've covered a lot of ground.
Absolutely.
Ooh, I'm heated. I don't know about what. And I think it's in a good way.
I am in a bother.
Ooh. Think about Pete Davidson interacting with
Lea Michele.
He's like 12 feet taller than her.
Well, I wish I lived in that world, but we don't.
We
live in this world with this Glee. And we, I think, will all always be coming to a reckoning with Glee, but mm-hmm. we thank you for bringing us on this journey.
Yes, Raina. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. This has been so wonderful.
Raina, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at It's Raina Ingman. You can follow my podcast at Glee_podcast. Simple, self-explanatory. If you're in LA, come see me do improv. I'll post it on my Instagram. I would like to say YouTube... the It's My Life Confessions mashup, if you want to be pumped up at any time.
I love that.
You're like, if you do one thing for me.
If you do one thing, follow me, sure, but watch that mashup.
Well, thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts. We have held off on talking about Glee this whole time because we thought, nope, we need to get the experts in here.
True.
We respect science.
I'm honored. As a scientist, I'm honored. Thank you so much.
So, we've left you with a lot to think about. But until next week, we hope you stay horrified.
Stay horrified.
And that's what you missed on I'm Horrified.
I'm Horrified is a Hemlock Creatives production, recorded and produced by us, Sam Bierstow and Allie Gavin, in Boston, Massachusetts. Our art is by Leah Brilliard and Allie Gavin. You can find us on Twitter at I'm Horrified Pod and at I'mHorrifiedPodcast.com. And you can tell us what horrifies you at I'mHorrifiedPodcast@gmail.com. If you'd like to support us directly on Patreon, you can get our podcast early and ad-free, as well as bonus episodes of our members-only minicasts. I'm thrilled! Check us out at patreon.com/I'mHorrified. And if you liked hanging out with us, tell your friends, share us on your socials, and leave us a review wherever you get your podcast. Thanks for stopping by, Horror Honeys.